Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Children's Encyclopedia of the Earth by Michael Albee, 2006-07, coffee sort of table, sort of introductory, I suppose, textbook that you take to the library, do your school projects from. I don't know why people would want it. It's got various pictures here. We're doing episode 6, called The Land, as we're powering through this. A whole lot of false colour Landsat pictures. Don't really explain it. And it's doing The Land, mapping the Earth. The circumference of the Earth is 4,000 kilometres. Sorry, 40,000 kilometres. By definition, various areas, you know, they say there's oceans and seas cover most of the Earth's surface. Continents, there are 7 major continents. Europe, Asia are known as separate continents, but they form a single landmass called Eurasia. The polar regions, Earth's polar regions, have extremely low temperatures. Hemispheres, meaning half ball, refers to the half planet's surface on either side of the equator. More than two-thirds of the Earth's land are found in the northern hemisphere, so you can see there's a lot more continents, and they're just going through what they are. Okay, so continents, oceans and seas dominate the globe, covering 70% of its surface. The land between the large bodies of water is traditionally divided into 7 major landmasses, continents. Europe and Asia are a single landmass, known as Eurasia, but are conventionally identified as separate continents because of distinct peoples and histories. Though technically a continent in itself, Australia is usually considered as part of a large region of Oceania, which includes the islands of the southwestern Pacific. North America. The continent of North America extends just south of the North Pole to just north of the equator. It includes almost every kind of environment, from ice caps to forests, mountains, deserts, jungles to the west, an almost unbroken chain of stretches from Alaska to Costa Rica. Mountains to Costa Rica? I'm actually confused. Where is Costa Rica then? Why you'd say that? And includes Rocky Mountains. The United States, North America, USA, and Canada is the largest countries of the continent's 23 countries. I'm going to show you a series of mountains and rivers. Now, they've got the Mississippi, Missouri. Oh, these are two. After the Yukon, the Rio Grande, are all in the United States. And the Amazon, obviously the longest. The Pana Rio Pal Pasta, wherever that is. The Purus, El San Francisco, the Pana. These are all rivers, which I don't know where they are. World's largest freshwater lake. World's largest gorge is the Grand Canyon. World's largest active volcano is in Hawaii. They get there. I don't know how they put that in North America. Why we can't have Hawaii, because it's in Oceania. World's longest border, the US-Canadian border. It's 63 kilometers long, 66,000 kilometers long. The world's tallest active geyser. Oh, it's all, yeah, US are great. South America. From the tropical north, South America stretches 7,000 kilometers to the Chile storm-battered peninsula of Cape Horn, just 600 miles or 1,000 kilometers from Antarctica. So there's a lot of mystery in that. I'd like to visit that someday. The Andes run the entire length of the continent's west coast. The North Amazon, the world's second longest river. Oh, the Nile's the longest, isn't it? snakes eastward to the Andes, to the Atlantic Ocean, through vast rainforests that once covered more than one-third of the continent. Thanks. Rain falls in the Atacama Desert just once or twice a century, and in some parts the desert rain has never been recorded, so they should actually show us where the desert is. Fast fact, even though most South American countries have Spanish as their first language, more South Americans speak Portuguese. This is because the Portuguese speaking Brazil is the continent's largest country. Europe? In the show, a Swiss guards have protected the Vatican since the 15th century. I don't know why they've got that there. And then you've got all the peaks here. Europe is not a self-contained continent, but the western part of Eurasia. Europe's boundaries with the Atlantic Ocean and the west, Ural Mountains on the east. Europe has mild winters and warm, dry summers, while the northern climate is temperate and distinct seasons. The world's tallest stalagmite in a cave in Slovakia. The world's smallest country is the Vatican City. That's great. Why you want to have all those facts? Africa, the world's second largest continent, extends over the southern shores of the Mediterranean. The largest, there's 53 independent sovereign countries. The largest is Sudan. I think it's now divided into you poor bastard. The Chiles is a group of islands off the east coast. It's the smallest African country. Africa also contains the world's largest desert, the Sahara. Arab peoples form the majority of the population in the north. The southern is mainly black population, is made up of hundreds of native tribes. World's largest desert, longest river is the Nile, largest artificial lake, Lake Volta in Ghana. World's highest temperature is in Libya, 57.3 degrees, recorded in 1922. Asia, we'll get here. It certainly gets a population of, I don't know how we get up, Oceania gets a population of 32 million. The world's largest country's continent covers 30% of the Earth's land surface, contains more than 60% of the world's human population. It extends from the Ural Mountains and the Suez Canal. Alright. So that's actually part of... So Saudi Arabia is actually Asian. I didn't know that one. Bering Straits. And they've got Mount Everest, which is halfway between China and Nepal. And you've got another large number of these things. So the Mount Everest is... Mount Everest is 8.85 kilometres high, whereas in Australia... Mount Kosciuszko, our highest mountain, is 2.218 kilometres. So it's actually just a gentle bushwalk up to the top. Oceania is a region of the South Pacific that consists of Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, islands of Melanesia, including Polynesia. Oceania has a land area of 8 million square kilometres. Well, there's almost no information. There's a big picture of Uluru. Islands. An island is an area of land completely surrounded by water. There are found in every ocean and sea, from huge green lands to tiny dots on the map. There are two kinds of islands, continental and oceanic. A continental island consists of high ground that rises above the sea level on continental shelf. The continental oceanic islands are not continental shelves. They are active extinct volcanoes that rise from sea level floor. Because they are isolated from the landmass, the islands are laboratories of life. They are home to unique plants and animals. How continental islands are formed. The sea level rises, water flows across low-lying coastal plains. And there is high ground between the plains and the sea. Some of the land remains out of water as an island on the continental shelf. So they've got different islands here. They've got Papua New Guinea, Greenland, Borneo, it's part of Asia, Madagascar. There are highlands in the east, volcanic mountains, and the north plains to the west. high, partly desert plateau in the southwest. Well, can I say, I flew over Madagascar when I flew out from South America, and it's the saddest thing to watch this completely denuded desert land. It was just so sad. There's also a record here, Baffin Island. An ice cap covers the centre of this Canadian Arctic island. Elsewhere, terrain is mountainous. The Norse called this island Hultland. So, the Norse actually know. Norwegians knew about it. Atolls. Special type of islands. Atolls, coral reef, usually circular, protects above the surface of the sea. Wholly or partly encloses an area of sea called a lagoon. There are many islands in a lagoon. Atoll begins to form when the underwater volcano rises above the surface. Coral builds the fringing reef around the sides. When the rocks of the coral continue to build upwards at the same rate, when most of the volcano has sunk below the surface, water fills the area enclosed by the reef to form a lagoon. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay. So, how an atoll forms? This is where it's best to go on Google Earth. An atoll is a coral reef that grows around the sides of an extinct volcano. As the volcano sinks, the coral grows and closes the lagoon. A fringing reef. Reef forms as corals grow on the sides of the volcano, just below sea level. The lagoon, the volcano sinks and erodes into the ocean floor, leaving the reef to enclose the lagoon. Beautiful diving thing. Ecosystems. Okay, let's show foxes and lions and giraffes and elephants and all its entire area, bunny rabbits. Almost every part of a planet is inhabited by an amazing variety of living things. There are about between 10 and 100 million kinds of species of plants and animals on Earth. All living things exist in a biosphere, which is made up of land, oceans, and atmosphere. Within the biosphere, there are many kinds of environments, or what are they called? Biomes. Over millions of years, living things have gradually altered their bodies and behavior to suit their environments. That's a bit like the Markian, rather than actually a little bunny who wasn't fast enough got eaten. The process is called adaptation. Together, an environment and its inhabitants form an ecosystem. Members of the ecosystem depend on each other for food and resources. Living world. Each of the Earth's environments has its own community of plants and animals. The illustration shows how ecosystems change between tropical rainforest left and the polar ice caps on the right. So let's start with tropical forests. Tropical forests require all year round warmth and abundant rain. Rainforests need rain all year. Seasonal forests are dry a part of the year. Subtropical grasslands tolerate climate that is too dry for forests. Subtropical grasslands are called savannas, border tropical forests, and they have both dry and rainy seasons. Deserts occur where more water evaporates than falls as rain. Oceans cover 71% of the Earth's surface. We're really struggling to get the facts here, aren't they? Marine environments vary depending on the latitude and depth. Temperate grasslands, with little bunnies hopping around and beavers. Prairies, pampas, steeps, velds occur where winters are cool, rain is light. And scattered groups of shrubs and trees survive. Temperate forests, it's your badgers and wolves, your foxes. Beatrix spotted, trees grow well in wet temperate regions and areas of cold winters. Most of the trees are deciduous. Some animals migrate in winter. Coniferous forests. Coniferous forests form a wide belt around the northern hemisphere where winters are long and the ground is frozen. I think that's a tundra, isn't it? Tundra. No plants can survive on ice caps where the snow and ice resists throughout the year. Tundra's vegetation occurs where the ground surface thaws in summer. I think there's a permafrost. I think they're deeply confused there. Tropical forests. Oh, we're going to go through all these things in detail. I don't know. Tropical forests go through a while. Lowland regions near the equator lie along river valleys and near close have warm, wet climate. Rainfalls fairly evening throughout the year. And this is the climate that supports tropical rainforests. In these steamy jungles, the air is always humid. Plant growth is dense. And tall trees cover with vines and small plants called epiphytes growing on their trunks and branches. Tropical rainforests are home to some more species than other environments on Earth. Large areas of the tropics have distinct wet dry seasons. The forests are more open and a greater number of trees are deciduous. Don't quite understand that last sentence. Tropical rainforests are home to some species, more species than other environments on Earth. Rainforests, okay. Large areas of the tropics have distinct wet and dry seasons. The forests are more open and a greater number of trees are deciduous. Whatever does that mean? Life in bromeliad, the tank bromeliad grows on, this is a little thing, grows on host trees high in the rainforest and produces food in its leaves. The leaves also collect water, which attracts many animals. They in turn deposit droppings, which provide nourishment for the bromeliad and to help to produce more food. Okay, so they just come and it's just a good hangout place. Shallow roots. Some rainforest trees' trunks have large fan-like growth at the base called buttresses. To compensate for the shallow roots that extend 10 metres up the trunk to support the tree's weight. Roots of trees growing in poor soils remain near the surface where they can take nutrients before they are lost to deeper levels. Root chips attach themselves to fallen leaves. Wow. South American seam. This scene shows many rainforest features, tall trees, straight trunks, high crowns, buttress roots, vines and other creepers, bromeliads and other epiphytes, whatever they are. Forest floor, fungi and diverse range of creatures called the buckmaster, bushmaster snake, a cougar, a toucan, a butterfly, all these things for kitties. Tropical forest again. This is the lowland. Now, this is tropical rainforest. A tropical rainforest is a thick vegetation teeming with animal life. The year-round warmth and moisture means there is no seasonal slowing of plant growth and the organic material lying on the ground decomposes rapidly. The dwarf tree complete for sunlight. Some have more than 130 meters tall. Below them, there are three layers of trees and shrubs that grow to different heights. What? Smaller plants and many animals flourish on the cool, damp, dark rainforest floor. On the forest floor, when a tree sheds a branch and falls to the ground, it starts to decompose. Fungi and beetles feed on the rotten wood and bacteria feed on their waste. Mosses, ferns and plants grow on the fallen branch of the tree. Their roots obtain nutrients from pockets of soil trapped in the hollow crevices. Habitat watch. You can see South America's absolutely being absolutely disgusting. That is disgusting. Original rainforest. So all the coastal rainforests have gone from Brazil. They're all completely gone. And it's just a shadow of its former self. And Colombia's got rid of most of it. Amazon Basin holds the world's largest tropical rainforest, but 23,000 square kilometres are cleared each year. Strenuous efforts are being made to reduce this. Using the forest. Tropical forests cover a large area of the land that would support more people. If it were converted to farmland, many tropical forest trees use variable hardwood timber. Illegal logging opens up the forest areas, providing many opportunities for exploitation. Slash and burn, forest edge, and so open land supports different species from inside the forest. Clearing increases the forest edge. Farming. When tropical forests are clear, more than 90% of the area is converted to food production. Termites eat large amounts of plant litter, especially bark and wood. Temperate and coniferous forests. Temperate forests, coniferous forests, and temperate coniferous forests. So there's sort of a large series of these forests. Okay. Forests in Canada and Russia are different from the forests in France and India, Indonesia and Australia. Climate and soil influence the kinds of tree that grows in the forest. The trees determine what grows in the forest floor beneath them. In cold northern latitudes, evergreen conifers grow in coniferous or boreal forests named after the boreal Greek god of the north winds, Boreas. But few plants grow in the dark forest floor. In temperate regions of the world, spring flowers grow on the floor of deciduous forests where trees shed their leaves in winter. Mixed temperate forests of different kinds of conifers and flowering trees grow in some parts of the world. Thank you very much. Okay, this is kind of a cycle. Color blaze. A mixed forest in autumn is ablaze with green leaves and evergreen trees and the brown, yellow, oranges of the red, green deciduous trees. Germination. I hope I've got this right. If the seed finds a spot that's warm enough for moisture and light, it will germinate and grows. Suspended germination continues growth. A birth of yellow dust. In spring, the male pine releases millions of pollen grains. A few days later, the male cone drops off and the tree's job has finished. Sticky cone. Pollen lands on the female sticky cone and a pollen tube starts to grow and up to a year later the seed is fertilized. It takes a year. Conifers do not need water to reproduce. They rely on wind to carry the pollen from male cone to the female. Swelling cone. The female cone grows four times its size and seeds grow inside. 2 years later, when the seeds are mature, the cone opens and releases them. Spreading seeds, each seed has a wing and can take off in the wind. It has food for germination inside a tough outer casing. I didn't know that. I didn't know that pine cones had wings. Okay. About 8,000 years ago, forest covers 70% of Europe. Many were cleared to provide fuel, farmland, and building materials. Now, they're being replanted by governments and private industry. Forest area in Europe is increasing by 0.1% per year. Good on you, Europe. Grasslands. Grasslands, my godfather. Grasslands occur in areas that get more rain and deserts, but not as much as forests. They have few trees and some have no trees at all. Grasses are hardier than trees and lose less water in dry winds than tall plants. Grasses have different names in different parts of the world. In North America, prairie once extended over much of the continent. When the Spanish explorers first saw the South America pampas, they had to stand on the backs of their horses to see across the grass. Ruralis's grass, or steppe, extends from Hungary to China. A tropical grassland called savanna grows on all continents, but the most famous is in Africa. Africa's savanna supports elephants, giraffes, zebras, and lions. Oh, we like that type of stuff. During the 19th and 20th century, much of the North America prairie was ploughed to grow its crops. Little of the original prairie survives, but some is now returning. Grassland around the world. Grasses are the main plants of grasslands, but species are different in each continent. As other plants growing with them, they provide abundant food and herds of grazing animals. Most temperate grasslands are used to raise livestock and grow crops. African savanna is unsuitable for farming. Whatever that means. A herd of antelope grazed beneath this stormy sky of African savanna. Flowering plants, these are different pictures. Flowering plants beneath the blue sky at Kakistan. Much of the pampas in Argentina is used to graze sheep and cattle. Western gay kangaroos live on the western southern grassland of Australia. African savanna. This is a picture of your beautiful vultures and I don't know, tigers and hyenas and, you know, it's a beautiful kitty's picture. Open tropical grassland scattered with thorn trees supports herds of grazing animals and predators that hunt them, as well as birds and reptiles. Much of the savanna is now protected to conserve wildlife. However, poaching remains a problem. Thanks for telling us that one. Tundra. Tundra exists beyond the limits of the coniferous forests, where the climate is too cold and gales too drying for forest trees to survive. A little way below the surface, the layer of soil remains permanently frozen, the permafrost. Tree roots cannot penetrate the rock solid frozen soil. So trees that do not grow, such as birch and juniper, are only 90 centimetres tall. In summer, the surface thaws and the sedges grow in pools in marshy areas. Lichens and moss grow amongst the rocks, grasses grow on the drier places and everywhere. There are plants far set to sea before the ice return. Habitat to watch. Polar bears live in the Arctic tundra and hunt seals on the pack ice offshore. As Arctic temperatures rise, coniferous forests expand towards the north in the tundra, and pack ice starts to melt. This reduces the bear's range. Glaciers recede from the tundra in South Georgia Island off the coast of Cape Horn. Okay, that's in the deep southern Arctic Ocean. Arctic tundra. At the tree line, trees are bare on the wind-blown side. Oh, yeah, okay. Low-growing flowering plants, grasses, moss, lichen survive better near the ground level, where the temperature is warmer and the wind is less chilling. In summer, there is water and warmth for a short growing season, coping with the cold. The glacier buttercup has adapted to the bitter cold and the short growing season. The white petals reflect sunlight to the centre of the flower. Flower moves slowly around to trap sunlight throughout the day. Strong roots anchor the plant firmly to the soil. Darker flower centre absorbs heat and warms the flower. Deserts. God, I think they're a little bit low on the desert count here. I don't think they've got a little bit of desert but there's no deserts in South, well, there's very little deserts in New South Wales. You're pretty loose on it. Deserts over 1/7 of the Earth's land surface. They are dry regions that on average receive less than 100 millimetres of rain per year. This is because there are no clouds, the days are very hot, but when the sun sets, the temperature drops quickly, and nights can be freezing cold. Only about 1/4 of the world's deserts are made up of sand, most are rock landscapes. The main tropical deserts in the northern hemisphere are the Sahara, Arabian, and Thar deserts. I don't know what the Thar desert is. United States and Mexico. And the deserts are, in the southern hemisphere, the major deserts are the Nubian, Kalahari in Africa, and this is in Central Australia. Forget the ones that I know about in New South Wales. Habitat Watch. From time to time, prolonged droughts allow deserts to expand. When the rains return, the plants appear in the land as covers, but if the livestock farmers are forced to smaller pastures, overgrazing may destroy the plant cover, making recovery difficult. This is called desertification, and that shows areas under threat in Africa. Okay, so most of Africa. Asian desert. The Thar desert in northwestern India in Pakistan is covered by a rolling sand dunes with some rocky outcrops. The Australian desert. The pinnacles in Western Australia are covered with limestone formations worth looking. The North American Psycho Cactus grows Sonora Desert. And here they're showing what's, this is Antarctica, sometimes called the world's largest desert. Even though it contains 70% of the Earth's fresh water, this is trapped in a huge ice sheet and it rarely becomes liquid or evaporates in the air. Well, there's just no rainfall there, mate. And they show a rain shadow. Moist air falls at rain pretty quickly. A dry air sinks and becomes hotter. The hotter air rises from the desert. Why deserts are dry? Cool, moist air approaches the mountain ranges and drops over the mountain as rain. As the air reaches the other side, it dries and sinks to the ground where it heats up, becomes dry. Water, in actual fact, is lighter in air because water has got a molecular mass of 18 and air has got a molecular mass of 28. Rocks and sand absorb heat quickly during the day and they can grow very cold and hot. From the late afternoon, the sun sinks lower in the sky. The desert surface loses heat by radiation faster than it absorbs light. So cold. Well, it's just with the... No, I don't think they're really confused here. It's dew point. So the as you heat things up, water, the humidity increases, and as it cools down, humidity decreases and temperature increases. I think that's bizarrely wrong. It's wrong. It's the dryness. So if you're in a very dry region, so moisture stabilizes the temperature because it gets hot, things evaporate, the humidity increases, there's decreases, things dew and pump out heat. Deserts again. In some deserts, the rain may not fall for many years. Then quite suddenly, a storm will break and there'll be a huge downpour that lasts just a few hours. The absence of moisture in the air means the clouds are rare and the skies are clear for most of the year. When the land is heated by the sun, the daytime temperatures can reach to 40 degrees. Plants and animals survive only if they adapt to the extreme heat and dryness and make most of the little rain that does form. But although they are dry and windy, not all deserts are hot. Cold winds can blow across the Gobi Desert in Central Asia, producing freezing conditions, but it's still considered a desert because it has little rain. Life amongst the spinifex. And you can actually, this is a lovely little thing because you have to spot the plant. Spinifex is a kind of hummock grass found in the desert of Australia. Each plant has a centre of dead, matted leaves with their green leaves covering the outside. Most are less than 90 centimetres tall. They support many kinds of wildlife. The jeweled gecko, small cockroaches, crimson chat, just a little bird, legless lizard, the skin, and a tiny nigwa wriggles through the spinifex to find insects. It's a tiny little bird. Desert night. Sarago cactus produces flowers and fruits and seeds, attract animals that provides nesting sites for birds, flowers, and open mainly at night. Sago flower closes during the midday heat to save water. They open and mainly at night. Cactus wren builds a nest. Antelope ground squirrel obtains most of its water from seeds, fruit, and nectar. Well, a lot of Australian animals just don't eat water. They get their energy by getting the water from food. I think they should make a point that cactuses breathe in carbon dioxide at night and then through their pores, then close their pores during the day so they don't lose water. They're showing here, long-nosed bats feed at night using their long tongues to obtain nectar from flowers. And so that's what with cactuses. Mountains. Mountains make up one-fifth of the land surface of the earth and home to about a tenth of the human population. Most mountains form a chain, a range. This is mainly linked to form a mountain belt or Corilla, Spanish for little rope. Corilla, I can't pronounce it. There are two main mountain systems. One circles the Pacific Ocean, includes the Andes of South America, the mountains of the American West, the Icy Mountains of Alaska, the mountains of Indonesia, Japan, Papua New Guinea, and New Zealand. I don't think they should have included New Zealand there. New Zealand is a completely different system. The second includes the European Alps and the Himalayas and Asia. Habitat Watch. Mount Everest attracts many climbers discarded using packaging equipment rather than carrying it, leaving in large amounts of rubbish. Volunteers are clearing it. Nepalese government now restricts access to the mountain. Himalayan mountains are still rising. The Indian tectonic plates means the world highest mountain is growing by half a centimetre a year. About 71 million years ago, India broke away from the southern supercontinent of Gondwanaland, so it's just ripping forward like anything. And the Indian plate made contact with Eurasia. About 30 million years ago, the mountains began to rise. In the main episode of the mountains, I'm pretty sure they've got the thing wrong. About 30 million years ago, the mountain began to rise. And the main episode of mountain building occurred just 20 million years ago. India starts its journey on the move. Goes collision. And you see they actually say it here. The Death Sea finally disappears. And the Indian-Eurasian plates collide, crumpling rocks upwards. Rocks compress and fold upwards, folding uplift. The ancient plates push up the Eurasian rocks. So they said the tests, the tides, T-E-T-H-Y-S-C. They did actually, in fact, get that wrong. Mountains and game. I love showing lots of little animals and pictures, you know, of little American, North American Rockies, these pickers, nice little cute sort of guinea pig-like things. The rocky terrain, steep slopes and harsh clumps of the mountain regions make the hostile places to live permanently. They're vast areas that people rarely visit. Mountains are wild places where only plants and animals that have adapted to the severe conditions can survive and thrive. Over the tree line, the soil is thin, the winds are strong, and this restricts plant growth. This limits the food supply for animals. Wild sheep and llamas live in small flocks, but mountain pastures cannot support large groups of animals. Instead, small numbers of many species, all with different needs. The Asian Tin Mountains between Russia and China. Asia's Tin Shan have snow-covered peaks rising more than 6.1 kilometres. New Zealand Southern Lake, Alps getting there in sort of a major way. So it says rising more than 3.6 kilometres. This eroded range occupies the centre of New Zealand's South Island. Thanks for telling us. Poor New Zealand, you got lumped in with everybody else. The Rockies. According to this book, New Zealand's a chain part of the Rockies. Rivers. Rivers carry fresh water from land into the sea. Many begin their journey high in the mountains. They start small streams and tumble over rocks, growing large as other streams join them. They can be quite large by the time they reach the lowlands. Other rivers start on lower ground, emerging as springs as places where the groundwater rises to the surface. As rivers flow across the plains and wild valleys, they slow down and widen and often meander from side to side. Water draining into rivers from the surrounding land carries nutrients and allows aquatic plants to grow. These provide food for insects and fish, which can in turn hunt for larger fish and birds. Habitat watch. The sacred Bhagani River in Kathmandu, Nepal, is threatened by the city's human waste and poo. Garbage and sewage pollution by humans is the most serious problems facing all rivers. Rivers can be restored. The Thames in London has been cleaned up in recent years. On level ground, the river widens and meanders. River meanders move slowly toward the river, erodes the bank, depositing material on the other. Water fills the highest, and it goes down. The Angel Falls in Venezuela, the Tugra Falls in South Africa, the Sunra Falls in you think they mentioned Niagara Falls. The sharp vertical drop of the river, usually produced by a fault of the underlying rock, sends water tumbling over the sends water tumbling down to lower level and forms a waterfall. Angel Falls is the world's highest. Higgins Falls in the Brazil-Argentina border is the world's widest at 2.7 kilometers. Worth looking. From river to sea. When large rivers cross the level plain before reaching the coast, they lose speed. Slowly running rivers divides past obstacles and deposits silts and it's carried from upstream, which forms new obstacles. Eventually, complex, often fan-shaped channels look And so this is Delta System sandstone, siltstone shale. Howard Hill grows. The river slows as it enters the sea. This causes it to drop a load of sediments. A major river constantly deposits new sediments on top of the earlier deposits, so the delta builds steadily as it works towards the sea. Now it's probably the best known delta, which begins near Cairo in Egypt. It's about 160 kilometers long and 240 kilometers wide at the coast. Meandering deltas carry silt, but a few large pieces of sediment do not block their channels. They follow meandering paths and slowly change directions. Estuaries. What's the fun? Estuaries occur when a freshwater river meets the salt water of the sea. As the river enters the sea, it slows until it no longer carries the material that's picked up its long journey. As it deposits the sand, across the sediment, which forms sandbars, where fresh and salt water meet. Reactions between them cause fine particles to clump together and settle, creating mud flats. Many estuaries are tidal. Where the tide is large, the fresh and salt water can form separate parallel channels. Where the tide is small, the salt water may flow beneath the fresh water. The constantly changing condition of the estuary attracts many different kinds of life. Life in an estuary. Water birds, insects, worms, shellfish, crabs, fish, plants share a safe environment of the estuary, where there's always plenty of food. Habitat Watch. Large-scale shrimp farming is a big business in Asia. Shrimp are grown in mangrove swamps of Asia's estuaries, and most of these estuaries are now under threat. Malaysia has now lost 2,350 square kilometres of mangroves between 1980 and 1990 to shrimp farming and agriculture. Oh God, shrimp is your prawns. View from a freshwater from a river flows into a sheltered estuary where it mixes with the salt water from the mangroves grow on the sides of the estuary. So I suppose Sydney Harbour is an estuary. The Minichi River flows to the sea in Queensland, Australia. The shifting sandbars in the estuary are clearly seen. So you've got the peanut worm, the luck worm, burrowing shrimp, the soft shell clam, the cockle, and the various sandworms. I guess people, kinds of estuaries. Although the river empties into an estuary is really an inlet from the sea, there are four ways such an inlet can form. Drowned river valley. It forms when the rise of the sea level has flooded into the river valley. Fjords is a deep side valley carved by now melted glacier. Barbel estuary, settlement from a river creates a sandbar across the mouth of a lagoon behind. Tectonic estuary occurs when the rock faults cause a section of the coast to sink below the sea level. Wetlands. A wetland is an area of land that is wholly or partly covered by shallow water. The water can be fresh or salty. Swamps, marshes, bogs, lakes, rivers, estuaries are all wetlands. Wetlands offer many habitats for plants and animals and cannot survive in deep water or dry land. They have a haven for birds, providing wealth of fish, plants and insects and food, as well as reeds and rushes for nesting. As the river continually deposits sediments and plants grow in the mud, wetlands are slowly changing all the time. Many wetlands are threatened, however, because they can be drained and used for farming, forestry or building. Others have been drained to control insect pests such as mosquitoes. Habitat Watch. The Pantanal in Brazil is the world's largest wetland. In summer, the river flows, overflows the banks to form swamps and marshes that are home to thousands of plants. However, 99% of the Pantanal is privately owned by ranching cattle farmers, which threatens the delicate ecosystem. From a lake to swamp. When the sediment builds up in a lake, the lake bed is raised and the water becomes shallower. Plant roots and the mud slowly creep out to the shore and the lake disappears. A lake in an inland body of water. Marshes, the sediment builds up and the plants advance further into the lake, which makes a marsh around the edges. A swamp. The lake disappears, and plants cover most of the entire area, forming a marsh or swamp if it is forested. Life in the wetlands. Coral reeds and rushes growing close to the lake provide cover for the nesting water birds and shelter water. Shelter water is where they can feed. Diving birds swim into the open water. And they've got a story here. Sandpipers nest in the wetlands, hunt. Reeds provide safe nesting. There's curlew. I love curlews. They're just the cutest regions, things I know. Around the shores of the Arctic Ocean, the far North America and Europe are short summers when the snow melts and herbs flower. This is the tundra. North of the tundra lies the permanent ice and extends the coastline. It covers much of the ocean in summer and all of it in winter. In the high Arctic, home of the polar bears that feed mainly on seals which they catch when they surface to breathe. The seal feeds on fish which prey on tiny animals called krill. North of the Arctic Circle there is at least one night each year where the sun does not set. This is called the midnight sun. There's also one day in winter where the sun does not rise above the horizon. Habitat Watch. For people concerned about climate change, the Arctic is thought to be an early warning system. Rising ocean temperatures are already reducing pack ice in summer. This will affect the Inuit people in Greenland and Canada who hunt the ice, and their way of life will disappear. The Inuit Hunter. Inuit Hunter were once nomadic people who used dog sleds for transport. Today they are more likely to use snowmobiles and live in snowmobiles and live in towns. Photographs taken at intervals through the summer show the midnight sun travel across the horizon. Isn't that beautiful? It never sinks below it, but it remains low in the sky. Arctic research. Scientists travel to study the Arctic in icebreakers. So that's interesting. It's a timeless. I should explain that. Arctic animals... scientists travel to study ice... The Arctic icebreakers are special ships that are designed to travel through icy waters. Fighting the freeze, Arctic animals are well protected against the bitter cold. To prepare for the winter, land animals grow a thick layer of body fat to insulate them from the cold and give them energy. They have waterproof coats and trap a warm layer of air in the skin. The Arctic tern is a migrating bird which spends summers in the Arctic and winters in the Antarctic. The walrus is used two long tasks to anchor itself in the ice or keep fishing holes open. Polar bear cubs are born in the middle of winter but are nursed by their mother in the snow then until spring. Harp seal, like all seals, has a thick insulating layer of blubber for warmth in winter. The caribou or reindeer have a dense fur and a thick layer of body fat to keep them warm. This is really pushing it. Oh, I hate this. Antarctic reasons. Isolated from other continents, the vast, stormy southern ocean, Antarctica is the coldest place on Earth. It has dry valleys and lichens and moss survive, with a few species of insects and mites. The continent provides no food for large animals. Birds visit and penguins breed in the ice, where they feed at sea, where life is abundant. Algae grow on the underside of floating ice shelves, provides food for shrimp like krill. Fish, seals and whales feed on krill, penguins feed on fish, and fast, fearsome leopard seals hunt penguins and smaller seals. The land is permanently covered by ice and snow, which melt in summer only in a narrow coastal area. The ocean freezes in winter. Under the surface, ice floats because the frozen water is less dense than liquid water. When most icebergs float, 85% of them are below the water. Travelling to the Antarctic. Antarctica has become a tourist destination. Visitors to the Antarctic Peninsula so they can set foot on the continent. They cannot travel overland. Their numbers are controlled to protect the environment. More than 15,000 tourists visit Antarctica each year for the scenery and wildlife. Here's the ozone layer. I think the ozone layer goes from 300 Dobson to 220, and that re-zero at 220 is the new zero. Right. The ozone layer absorbs UV rays of sunlight. Over Antarctica, the ozone layer thins naturally each spring. But in 85, scientists observed a larger loss named the ozone hole. This was caused by aerosol cans. The largest hole ever was reported in 2006. So, yeah, it's more amazing. Okay, this is the types of icebergs. A tabulum, broken off a piece of ice shelf, is white or blue in colour. Dry dock, the iceberg shape is called dry rock. The centre lies below the waterline. The pinnacle iceberg has sharp spines that project high above the water's surface. Agricultural areas. Rye was first cultivated in Southwest Asia 13,000 years ago. It was the beginning of one of the most important changes in human history, from finding food by hunting animals and gathering plants, to producing and tending livestock stocks and growing plants. Farmers cleared away existing plants and ploughed the land to destroy weed and sow seeds of crops and plants. This is the most radical change to the natural environment humans have ever made. European farmers replaced their forests with crop fields and pastures. In North America, farmers cleared the prairie grasses with cereal crops. Because cereals are also grasses, this change to the environment was less extreme. Today, when tropical forests are cleared, it almost always provide land for farming. Habitat watch. Most farmers use fertilizers to supply nutrients to their crops. This increases the farmer's yield, but when the water carrying the fertilizers drains to the river or the sea, it can kill aquatic plants. When the plants die, there's less oxygen for the water fish. Terraced hills. Farmers in Asia learned long ago that the best way to cultivate a hillside is to plow around the slope, up and down, and build level plants for unfortunately, clearing plants from hillsides can speed up erosion. American prairie farms have a vast need for irrigation. Here, water is supplied to a circular pattern by automatic sprinklers. The field is also sown in circles. European farms, like this one in England, often contain many small fields enclosed by hedges. The region was once forested, if you really believe that. Urban areas. Oh my God, Father. Oceans, just very thin nothing. When people began to farm land, they also began to settle in one place. They built villages and grew towns and cities. In cities, not everyone needed to produce food, so other activities could flourish. Cities produced craft workers of all kinds, as well as teachers, priests, artists, musicians, inventors, scholars. More and more people moved to the cities in search of work. Today, more than half the entire human population are city dwellers. In many developing countries, cities are growing too quickly for there to be enough basic services such as clean drinking water, electricity. As a result, millions of people live in extreme poverty and unhealthy conditions. Again, his Hans and Oleg would debate this. This is real 1960s viewpoint. City dwellers burn fuel and generate lots of waste because both cause pollution unless they are managed. Air pollution from traffic fumes is a health hazard in many cities. Separating trash from recycling can ease the waste disposal problem. Modern cities. Skyscrapers in New York, USA, let more than 8 million people live in a small area, but gee, it's the size of the suburban area is important. Katuchuk. Katalhudarsk. Around 6000 BC, several thousand people lived in Katuchuk, one of the first villages that is now Turkey. Their houses were so tightly packed that people entered through the doors and the roof. Okay, the largest populations, and Australia doesn't even go in there. Most of human history for the total number of people to reach a billion mark, well, God, around 1800. Since then, the population growth has sped up, with 6 billion people being added just 12 years. The 6 billionth. The world population is likely to reach 100 billion around the year 2020. 2200. Well, there's disagreement about that. About 95% of this growth is developing countries, poorer countries with limited industry. Asia holds 60% of the world's population, while Africa is the fastest growing population. Biodiversity. God. Oh, it's coming to the end. Okay. Biodiversity is short for biological diversity. It refers to incredible variety of living things that exist on Earth, where they live and how they interact. It's not just how many species that live in one area, but how varied a particular species is, or how complex an ecosystem or community is. Rainforests are the most diverse ecosystems in the world. Pollution makes life difficult for some animals and plants, which reduces the biodiversity affected area. Changing use of land by clearing forests, for example, farmland, for example, may reduce and increase or increase biodiversity depending on circumstances. Scientists agree. That we should preserve as much biodiversity as possible. Worldview. The map shows biodiversity of different countries as researched by their governments. Way. Biodiversity is greater in countries with warm climates than countries with cold ones. The lowest in extreme habitats such as deserts and polar regions. I don't know why they say this. Danger. This is extinct and threatened SS species. The orangutans are threatened. Wandering albatross, the giant cicada. Global environment. There are now so many people in the world, and the industry is supplying our needs so large, that we are having significant effect on the natural environment. Many scientists, again, believe we are altering the global climate, although others disagree. Traffic fumes reduce the air quality in many cities. In some places, factories produce both air and water. Gases emitted by factories and power stations make rain more acidic, more acid, which damages lakes and rivers. Poor land management erodes soils and allows nearby deserts to expand. None of these problems are irreversible, but to solve them all, we need to improve the way we look after our planet. So it's plant in peril. Industry and development can cause serious environmental damage such as pollution of the air, land and sea. The problem of industrialized countries are now reappearing in developed countries. So holding back the deserts, saving the forests, reducing air pollution, eliminating acid range, saving the ozone layer, keeping our water clean, protected areas. Most countries set aside land to protect its wildlife. These are generally national parks, nature and protected land, and regions vary greatly. So what this means, I don't quite understand. Area protected, total area. So North America's got quite a good amount. That's reduced. So we have 7.1%, and Africa's got less than anybody else. I don't know what the numbers here. So that ends the reading, this reading of number 6, episode 6. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. How you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.